You know, there are aircraft that get designed, they serve their purpose, and they retire gracefully. And then there's the B-52 Stratofortress. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS on Radio Hangar 15 times. That's how many times the United States Air Force has seriously proposed retiring this airplane. 15 separate retirement plans, stretching back decades, and every single time, the Stratofortress just shrugged it off and kept flying. Today, the B-52 isn't just still in service. It is the most deployed long-range strike aircraft in the American bomber fleet. And if current plans hold, it will remain operational until somewhere around 2040 or beyond. Let that sink in for a moment. We are talking about an airframe that first flew in 1952. That's a bomber with a potential service life approaching 100 years. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. So why can't the Air Force quit this airplane? Here's what you need to know. The B-52 was built by Boeing during the early Cold War as a high-altitude strategic nuclear bomber. 8 Pratt and Whitney turbojets slung under those massive swept wings. A wingspan of just over 185 feet, and a combat range that could reach halfway around the world with aerial refueling. When it entered service in 1955, the idea was simple: fly high, fly far, deliver nuclear weapons. The Soviets would never be able to touch it. Well, that calculus changed fast. By the late 1950s, Soviet surface-to-air missiles made high-altitude penetration missions a losing bet. The Air Force pivoted, and the B-52 pivoted with it, shifting to low-level penetration profiles. Then Vietnam happened, and the Stratofortress found a completely different mission. Operation Arc Light and later Operation Linebacker 2 turned the B-52 into a conventional carpet bomber. It was never designed for that role. It adapted anyway. And that adaptability is the whole story of this airplane. Every time a newer, more advanced bomber came along, people assumed the B-52 was done. The B-1 Lancer was supposed to replace it. The B-2 Spirit was supposed to make it obsolete, and now the B-21 Raider is entering the picture as the next generation stealth platform. Each of those aircraft is more technologically advanced than the Stratofortress. Each one cost dramatically more per unit, and the B-52 just kept outlasting the retirement proposals. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on why this keeps happening. It comes down to three things: cost, versatility, and payload. The B-52 is relatively cheap to operate compared to the B-1 and the B-2. The B-2 Spirit, for all its stealth capability, requires extraordinary maintenance. Its special radar-absorbent coatings need climate-controlled hangars and painstaking upkeep. The B-1 Lancer has faced persistent readiness issues throughout its career, with mission-capable rates that have frustrated Air Force leadership for years. The B-52, by contrast, is a known quantity. Maintenance crews understand it inside and out. The supply chain is mature. It's not glamorous, but it works. Then there's the payload question. The B-52 can carry approximately 70,000 pounds of ordnance, gravity bombs, cruise missiles, precision-guided munitions, even hypersonic weapons under the current upgrade plans. It is essentially a flying arsenal. In a non-contested airspace environment, which is where the Air Force has operated for most of the last 30 years, you don't always need stealth. Sometimes you just need a truck that can carry a lot of weapons a very long way. And that brings us to what's happening right now. The Air Force is not just keeping the B-52 around, they are actively investing in it. The current re-engining program will replace those 8 old Pratt and Whitney TF-33 turbofans with 8 new Rolls-Royce F-130 engines. That is a commercial engine derivative. And it will give the B-52 roughly 30% more range, better fuel efficiency, and significantly reduced maintenance demands. New radar systems, new communication suites, new weapons integration. By the time the upgrades are complete, about the only thing original on the airplane will be the airframe structure itself. This affects you if you think about it from a broader aviation perspective. The B-52 story is really a lesson in design philosophy. Boeing built this airframe with enormous structural margins. The wings, the fuselage, the basic architecture was over-engineered by the standards of the day, and that over-engineering is exactly what has allowed the airplane to be continuously modified and upgraded for 7 decades. There's a lesson in that for anyone who designs or maintains aircraft. Sometimes the simple, robust solution outlasts the clever one. For those of us in general aviation, we see echoes of this in our own fleet. The Beechcraft Bonanza has been in continuous production since 1947. The Cessna 172 has been flying since 1956. These aren't the most technologically advanced airframes in the sky, but they are proven, maintainable, and they work. There is real value in that. Now, the B-1 Lancer is the one actually heading for retirement. The Air Force has been drawing down the B-1 fleets, and it's expected to be fully retired as the B-21 Raider reaches operational capability. The B-2 will eventually follow, but the B-52, the current plan has it flying into the 2040s at minimum. Some analysts think it could reach the 2050s, a bomber designed when Harry Truman was president, still dropping weapons when most of us will be well into retirement ourselves. If that's not one of the great engineering stories in aviation history, I don't know what is. Sources today from Simple Flying and Air Force reporting on the B-52 program. More at RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Clear skies out there.